May we speak words in which there are whispers of God's Spirit. May we hear words in which we catch a little of the language of God. Amen. Please be seated. Good evening and welcome to the Church of the Redeemer. Halfway through the service, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. We have another run at that. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Good, I feel ready to preach. The first Christmas card I saw this year was, it was a lovely woman, and it had on the front cover a very old master style painting, and it was Jesus in the manger scene, and it was all darkness around the outside. It was very dark in this stable, and there were just the slightest touches of light hitting the outer edges of the picture. And as you got closer, you could see silhouetted the ears and horns of animals and manes, and just a sense of their presence by shadow. And then closer in, there were Mary and Joseph, but they were backlit. You couldn't really see their faces, because in the middle, glowing with light radiating, was the baby Jesus in this manger of golden straw, just like this. It was one of the old masters. I'm not sure which one it is, but, you know, somebody with a good paintbrush. And I thought, isn't that funny? It's very strange lighting. But there's sort of a point to it, to which I will return, because it made me think, I just found myself thinking of a time when I was about 8 years old, and my parents had moved to a small village in Somerset, and halfway through the school year, I went to join my fifth new school. And I was all at sixes and sevens, because when you move school curriculum, you move program, and I was lost. And I can remember the very strong image that's in my head and stayed ever since then. This sense of every day being like having to find my way up a tunnel hewn in rock, like a big tube. And up ahead, I was at the back of the class of kids, and we were all following the teacher. And the teacher was at the other end of all the kids, and the teacher had the light. And I wasn't in the light, I was in the dark. And the only way I could make my way forward was to remember what the floor looked like near him yesterday when he was standing with the light in the place that I was today. But I also had to pay attention to what he was doing so I could remember where he was for tomorrow when I would be there. I was always a day behind, and it was horrible. And I felt lost, and I felt stupid, and I didn't know what to do but just to keep trying. Somewhere along the way, there was a parent-teacher meeting. And my teacher said to my parents, "There's more in David than is coming out." Now, and this is true, I have not made this story up, my teacher's name was Mr. Wright. So he worked on me without me really knowing it for the rest of that school year until that year was over. And halfway through the term of the next school year, my parents up and went again. I think it was an issue with taxes or police. I can't remember what. But they did. But in that period of time, Mr. Wright caught me up. He caught me up to the pack. It was easier week by week to follow what was going on. And I eventually caught up. So I was up there. In fact, I elbowed my way through some of the other kids and was getting closer and closer to the light. That man, in a way, saved me academically. And it was a wonderful thing. Now, I tell you all this story as I would have told you this at, you know, closer to the time. Because once you start going to church and listening to stuff. My family didn't go to church at the time. I was in a church-free zone. I realized that a lot of the language that I've just used and images sounds very spiritual. You'll hear it in Christian teaching and Hindu teaching, Buddhist teaching, the sense of the light and being attracted to and drawn, seeking light so you have understanding, so you have a sense of being whole and in community and one with yourself. And it's a very important feeling. It's a peace that many of us experience at different times in life, that feeling of just being lost. You know, when something goes wrong, when a relationship breaks up and you're lost, when suddenly you're fired and disgraced at work and you're lost, or something happens and your community of friends ostracizes you, or you have to move and go to a new place where you don't know the language or the cultures or the friendship patterns. You have that sense of being kind of lost, and you don't really know. That's the thing about being lost, you don't know which is the right way to go. So you look around, as it were, for glimmers of light. You look around for something that draws you, that leads you, something that gives you a sense of hope. It's very much the Christian message. It's right there, the sense of in the beginning there was light, and the light was incarnate. And the light overcomes the darkness, even though the darkness cannot comprehend it. And the light leads you. And the light of Christ goes before you. All those words and phrases you'll know and recognize. And they're woven in there. And often when we hear the hymns or the stories that talk about the light, it's great. Oh, I've seen the light. I'm fine. I'm good. I'm ready to go now. But you know, it's not. It's often finding the light and following it's really, really hard work. I want to think for a moment about Mary and Joseph. They're just a young couple and they're betrothed to get married and everything's sort of, okay, that's quite light and bright, isn't it? You know, falling in love or having an arranged marriage with somebody who's not utterly disgusting. And you know, from the postcards, they both look quite nice. So, and everything's going along and then suddenly Mary's pregnant. Joseph's not the dad. The light's gone out. Both of them must have been filled with dread. But somehow or other, they pull it together. And they're both, the stories tell us, they pull it together because both of them have had visions of angels or dreams of angels. And God has said to them through these angels, don't fret, it's all right. We're with you on this. Don't worry. Just keep going. You're doing something marvelous. You're bringing God into the world in a small child. Just don't forget that. Hang on to that. Well, it's hard enough for them just within the village to cope with the pressures and the comments and the side swipes that might have happened. But then there's a census called and they've got to go to the city of David, which is, you know, further away than Whitby and much darker. And there's no transit, and there are no cars, not even bicycles, so they've got to walk. And Mary's now 8 months and 27 and a half days pregnant, which is not a good state to be in on a donkey. And Joseph's terrified that she's going to give birth halfway along the way because he didn't do the midwifery course that was suggested. And he thought her mother would be there and her aunts and her older sisters and or at least his mother and his aunts and his older sisters. And of course, they're the slowest people on the road, so by the time they get to Bethlehem, all the best rooms are taken, and they work their way through the whole village. Well, it's town, village, not very big. And at the end of one of the side streets, there's a little house, which is, it's really a farmhouse, and they've got a little space for an inn, and they find the person who says, no, we got no rooms here either, but you know, you look so pathetic and tired. I can clear a bit of space in the stable. We can put some clean straw in and shoo the animals out and you can spend the night there. That's hardly walking in the light. That's, you know, you don't think of that as walking in the light. That's hard work. That's miserable hard work. They're both having nervous breakdowns all the way down, both of them feeling inadequate, both confused, both lost, both helpless. And that's what following the light is often like. So when I was putting this sermon together and it was coming into my head, I had this feeling that maybe somebody who walks into this building tonight, maybe just one person who walks into the building tonight, understands what I'm talking about. So there is somebody here who's struggling. There's somebody here for whom life is not going well. Somebody here for whom there's been a pitfall, for whom things have gone wrong. Life is hard. Life is painful. The way forward isn't clear. In fact, it's unattractive. And they're looking for something. They're looking for some glimmer of light. They're looking for some way that they've been thinking about it over breakfast, over on walks. How do I get out of this? How do I get through this? How do I get out of this horrible place? How do I make my way forwards? So the story of Mary and Joseph, in a way, it's kind of like my story of light, but it's more interesting. It didn't just finish in Bethlehem. The stories tell that they became refugees. They narrowly escaped a slaughter of children. They made it out of the village just in time. They heard the hoofbeats and they heard the screams. And they walked through the wild lands, off the track roads, and found a way to Egypt. And we don't really know how long they lived there. And when they thought it was safe to come home, it wasn't. And they couldn't come home to their own families. They had to go and live in another place, in Nazareth, where they knew no one. Following the light is hard. Following the light is difficult. But you keep following it if you have that sense that there is something there at the end that is worthwhile, that is precious, that will finally give you freedom, that will finally give you that place to become who you are and who you could be and maybe who you should be, where there is fulfillment and hope and community and a place of friendship, a place to contribute, a place to be valued. That's the light of this image. This church, in its own funny way, strives to be a light in this place. We get lots of people passing through, people coming to learn, people coming to find friendship, people coming to be fed, people coming for medical help or housing help. Each of them come here to pick up just a little bit of light, a little bit of hope, a first crack of dawn in the darkness of a long night. I think there may be some place that's full of light. There is some place where everything gets solved. There is some moment in time when maybe it all unfolds as it should. But for most of us, most of the time, there's a degree of darkness. It's never all sorted. We all have problems we wrestle with. And we come in the darkness on Christmas Eve, in the night, to places like churches, because something draws us to say, in the darkness, I believe there's light. In the depth of winter, I will hope for spring. In the hardness of my life, I will continue to believe that is not the end of the story, but there is something ahead of me. As I said, I don't know who in this congregation is listening to this sermon and going, uh-huh, yep. You don't know that. It is my hope that something of this is touching different people. So when you leave tonight and you go off home, and maybe there's family parties tomorrow, or maybe you're just going to go to your own small apartment and stay there on your own, take with you this little image of a family and remember for them it was hard. And every year we come in the darkness to celebrate that spark of light that grew and changed and became the Jesus that we read in the Gospels, a man who radiated love and justice, who spoke in truth and promised a way forwards and taught a way forwards and showed one. I hope that something of that makes sense to you tonight and you can take it away and use that as nourishment in times of hunger, light in times of darkness and despair, and a guide for the rest of the journey of your life. May you be blessed in the darkness with light, just enough. May you be strengthened on your journey for just the next steps. May you have hope enough to break out of despair. And may the Spirit of God, who is more complex, more strange than any of our theologies can explain, may the Spirit of God go with you tonight and never leave you, but bring you safely home. May you have a Merry Christmas. Amen.